as people said. Amen to that. Thank you for that song. If I could sing, I'd sing like that, except in a man's voice, okay? Appreciate that very much. We do need to dismiss the children's church that are that is those of you who don't want to hear me preach. You can go now, okay? The young people, children's church, you're dismissed at this time. The rest of you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I was going to preach on Gideon this morning, then I thought, oh, no, the special singer, she'll probably sing about Gideon, so I won't go there. But it is Veterans Day, and so we do want to give honor to the soldiers. You know, in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, there's four groups of people that are major behavioral groups that are mentioned in the New Testament over and over again in 2 Timothy. The first one would be stewards. We're all stewards of time and money and everything else, and God expects us to take care of those things. And the second group is soldiers, which we'll be looking at this morning from 2 Timothy. We can all identify with being stewards to one sense, one degree or another, and some of us can identify with being soldiers. And the other two groups are athletes who are always striving for a gold medal. They're always striving to do a little bit better. They're always striving to make the winning point. Athletes, there's much in the Bible about comparisons between you and I and athletes and all the preparation they have to go through in preparing for gold medals. And then the other people group are farmers. Now, we're living in an area here that's very agricultural minded. I don't have any farmer blood in me. My wife was raised on the farm. She's the farmer. She's the agricultural half of me. She was raised on a farm way up in northern Minnesota, so she understands farming. I don't. I was just a city kid, you know, raised on the poor side of the tracks in Thief River Falls. But I have, over the years, had experience with stewards and soldiers and athletes and farmers, and they are common people groups, major people groups referred to in the scriptures. Yesterday, my wife and I, along with Wes and Della, attended the funeral of the DeBoer girl, Elizabeth, I believe her name was. And on the in the lobby on the foyer, there was a plaque that talked about a soldier. And I told Pastor, I said, why don't you take out your smartphone and take a picture of this, and I'll read it tomorrow morning. So this is what it says about the soldier. It is the soldier, not the minister, who has given us freedom of religion. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us the freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to protest. It is the soldier, not the lawyer, who has given us the freedom to a fair trial. It is the soldier, not the politician, who has given us the freedom to vote. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, whose coffin is draped by the flag, and who allows protesters to burn the flag. So I think we should all thank God for those who are and were willing to serve. We want to recognize those folks right now. I know that you stood earlier, but would all the men and women that have been in uniform, would you please stand? I want to know what branch you were in, what year you were in, if you don't mind telling us, and where you were located when you were overseas, if you would do that quickly. Come on, veterans, stand up, tell us. Let's get started here. Okay, you all up? All right, let's start over here with this side. Branch, what year you were in and which country you went to?
I was in Army Artillery. I was stationed in Korea from 1969 to 1971.
Okay, good. Over here?
I was in
Fort Hood,
Texas, 1965 to 1967.
Good.
U.S. Navy, Aviation
Electronic
Systems, 2000.
Okay, behind him? Okay.
Army Infantry, 1956 to 58,
Okay, where did you land?
I never got out of the state because there was no active duty at that time.
Okay, amen, good. Bob?
I was in Germany, and I was just, the war ended, I ended up in charge of the regimental personnel office, and I'm the third division.
Okay, amen.
I was attached to the South Korean Army Intelligence, 72 and 73, Vietnam, Korea.
Okay.
1981 to 84, Army and Germany of the Pershing nuclear missile crewmen.
Amen.
Army National Guard in South Korea.
Okay.
Marine Rifleman from 83 to 86 in the Pacific.
Okay, amen. The one from Germany back there, I was a missile crewman in Germany also. So we'll have to get together for coffee or something today. You can buy, okay? Are there any ladies in here that have served? Okay, let's give them all another round of applause for their service. It was an unusual experience for me yesterday at the funeral. My youngest daughter is 40, and this Elizabeth girl that they buried yesterday was 35. She had got an early medical discharge for some reason, and she was trying to recuperate, and at 35, her life ended. And we owed a lot of veterans' funerals, but they're mostly men. And in this case, it was a young lady, a mother of, I think she had a little boy that was 10 or 12. And it was a tear-filled funeral. But they say she was a believer in Christ and she knew the Lord, so that's a good thing. But it's still always heartbreaking to see somebody so attractive as a young girl and a young mom end her life so soon. But good reminder for the rest of us to be grateful. Pastor and I and a couple others were trying to decide what little gift or what little token could we give the veterans for their service. And almost everybody we talked to said, oh, we don't need another pen or another cap or another bumper sticker. We just like the gratitude. And that is true. You know, just a thank you is nice. At the end of the war that I came out of, I was in during the Vietnam crisis, and you didn't get a round of applause, and they didn't have a parade for us when we came back. It was much different. And I'm here to tell you that most wars are started by overambitious, proud politicians, and they are fought by young people who don't know better. And in the process of all of that, the young die and the older get richer, and they stay in politics. But I'm thankful for my years in, and I haven't met many people that are not thankful for their service. Those that serve, they didn't have all good experiences, but they are thankful to have had the privilege and the honor to serve. It was interesting when we toured Israel. We were at a McDonald's of all places in Israel, and a busload of soldiers came, and there were as many guys as girls. It was about 50-50 in the group. And so we began to talk to them, and it turns out the boys in Israel are required to serve their country for 2 years. It's mandatory. And then they remain active in a reserve capacity for 20 years. So if Israel is ever invaded by another country, they can blow the whistle and have 20 years worth of ready reserve people to fight for them. And the girls were required to serve 1 year. And after 1 year, they remained on active status, but I'm not sure how long they remained on active status. But I'm a patriot, and my dad, when we got 18 years old, he didn't ask us if we were going in the service. He said, which branch are you going in? I have four brothers, and we all served. And Dad said, you're not staying home. I'm not paying for your room and board. Get out there and either get a job or join the Army or whatever. And so we, because of the draft, ended up joining the Army. But I'm thankful that my dad had that mindset. We could use some more patriots in this country. We have too few of them. And we need to have the kind of people that respect the flag and love the flag and appreciate the flag. I was filling in this summer in Kenmare, North Dakota. We were in a thrift store, and a GI came in, big fellow. I wasn't going to argue with him, but I should have talked to him. But he had on a T-shirt. On the front of his T-shirt, he had in big, bold letters, along with an American flag, he had in big, bold letters, it says, "Does this," pointing to the flag, "does this offend you?" And then I saw that, and I thought, what in the world is his message? And then he turned his back to me, and on the back it says, "If it offends you, I'll help you pack." To which I told my wife, "Amen, that guy's cool." I was raised in America, I love America, I love the flag, and I feel sorry for and I grieve for those who don't, because they are missing out on a good privilege of being a part of this country. Well, enough for the announcements. Now we have to get into the preaching. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you're there. The word soldiers is found 30 times in your King James Bible, if that's what you read. The word soldier itself is found 5 times, and the word fellow soldier is found twice. In our text this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, we'll see those four people groups mentioned. But I also want to give you a challenge on 10 marks of being a good soldier. And I think it's important that we consider that. The hymn writer, which we'll be singing later, writes these words, "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Am I a soldier of the cross?" Let's read our text and then we'll get started here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Father, bless your word as only you can. Help this preacher this morning to say that which is important and helpful and good for these people. And help me to leave out those thoughts and those ideas and those stories that are probably of no value. Lord, we all should respond yes to being asked the question, are we a soldier of the cross? But Lord, some of us aren't quite ready yet. We're not quite there yet. We're not mature enough. We're not willing enough to be a soldier of the cross. But maybe from these testimonies this morning, from these men who have served, and from the testimony of others that we know, relatives and boyfriends and girlfriends that have gone into the service, maybe by their testimony we will see the importance of soldiering and the importance that it has in the army of God. So thank you for loving us. Direct us through your word now as your Holy Spirit leads. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Now I told you the four people groups. The first one is in verse 1. "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We've been given the grace of God if we're saved, and God says, be strong in that grace, that you're to be a steward of that grace. If we look down in verse number 3 and 4, we see the picture of a soldier, as a good soldier, that we might please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So you have a second people group. And verse 5, I believe, is referring to the athletes. "And if any man strive to be a master in some athletic field or another, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." I think of that bicyclist that was in Europe, and he won all these Grand Tour of France many, many years, and then after all those years of winning all those races, after all that work and all that training, they found out that he had drug laced in his system, and he was stripped of his crowns. Athletes have to strive, but they have to strive lawfully. They have rules of engagement. And those referees, those people we don't like because they always wreck my good game, but there's rules there to make the game fair and to make the game challenging and to make the game right. And so the Bible talks about athletes and what they have to do to receive the gold crowns. And then the last people group in verse 6, the husbandman, that's the farmer. The husbandman laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And so in this passage, in these seven verses, I believe there are very carefully outlined for us 10 characteristics or 10 marks or 10 traits of a true believer, of a soldier. And I want to give them to you quickly, and then we'll get you out of here. Now, I am not Pastor Yoder. You have a very sharp pastor. He's very keen. You don't have that kind of guy in front of you now. He might give you some Greek words and some Hebrew words, but I'm not. The only Greek word I know is Giovanni's pizza. The only thing I know about the Hebrew language is it's connected to coffee somehow. Hebrew coffee. But I do enjoy finding practical messages in the Word of God that will help the everyday regular person. I've always been in tune with that, and I find that's my niche in life. Not to be theologically deep, but at the same not to be so shallow that you don't get anything from the message. But I do believe there are within these words some marks and some traits of a soldier. The fundamental question is, do you want to be a soldier? Of the 10 men that stood, I don't know how many of you volunteered. I was drafted, but then I volunteered my draft because I didn't want to go in the service in the middle of the winter, so I volunteered to go in the fall. That way, after 2 years, I could get out and start college. So I volunteered, in a sense, for the draft. But I'm certain that several of you probably enlisted. And that's okay. You volunteered to serve as a soldier. The fundamental question for you as a believer is, are you willing to be a soldier of the cross? Are you willing to be a follower of Jesus? The lesson plan that Jesus gives us for our life is really quite simple. Have the faith to trust me. Have the fortitude to follow me. And if you do, I'll make you a fisher of men so other people can get saved. Now, that's not hard at all. Find me, for by grace are you saved through faith. And then Jesus says, follow me. And we follow him by reading his rule book, reading his guide, reading his word. And if we love that, we can't wait for our neighbors and friends to get saved, so he makes us fishers of men. And that's what he wants of a New Testament believer. And I hope you're willing to surrender to that. The first characteristic here is we need to be strong in grace. We need to be strong in grace. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not everybody likes soldiers. We know that. If you've been a soldier and you've been up against the wrong crowd, you know that they spit on you. You know that they tear up your literature and throw it in your face, and there isn't anything you can do about it because you're a soldier. You're supposed to stand there and take it. I was in a thrift store in Fargo, North Dakota, and there was a black lady that was waiting on me. She was serving me, and as soon as she saw my military cap, her countenance changed dramatically, and she looked at me, and it's like she said, I hate you. I hate all soldiers. Now, I don't know why. I don't know what her history is. Maybe some soldiers raided her camp in Africa and they molested her family and friends or killed somebody. I don't know. But I knew this just from looking at her and just from having eye contact with her that she did not like soldiers. And so as soldiers, we need to be full of grace. We need to be full of mercy. We need to be forgiving. We need to have alligator skin. Because sometimes people don't like us and what we stand for. And if you're a believer and if you love to witness, you'll find out that's also true in the community of Brookings. There are people in Brookings that will spit on you. They will throw your track back in your face. Well, there isn't many like that, but there's a few. And it only takes one to wreck your day. But if you're a soldier of grace, then you understand their lost condition. You understand their heart's need for Jesus. and you, in mercy and grace, you give them the tenderness that God gave you. So first of all, the first mark or trait of a soldier of Jesus Christ is to be strong in grace. The second one is to be committed to teach. Look at verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. We should always be mentoring somebody, and somebody should always be mentoring us. Men and ladies, do you have a young lady or a young man that you are mentoring? And if you do, are you being mentored by an older man or an older lady? We should always be mentoring someone, and someone should always be mentoring us. We should have a teacher's spirit. We should be meek enough to learn from anybody, but at the same time, we should be graceful enough and strong enough to teach others also, as our text reads. Those things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And in order to teach well, we have to listen well. Our third characteristic, a good soldier is strong in grace. He's committed to teach. He's faithful in hearing. He's attentive to what he hears. This morning, I hope you're attentive to what the Word of God is telling you. There's too many of us that we're like the man who's, I shared this in Sunday school class, as a husband and father, my wife calls and says, on the way home from work tonight, pick up milk and pick up some bread and pick up some bananas. I say, sure, honey. And I come home with bacon and ice cream and hot dogs. And she said, didn't you hear me? And I said, well, I heard you, but I wasn't paying attention. I didn't really listen. A good soldier is somebody who listens with their heart. They listen attentively. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you a good listener? God gave us two ears and one tongue. Tells us something. We ought to listen twice as much as we talk. Strong in grace, committed to teaching, faithful in hearing. The fourth one is we need to endure hardness. Look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We need to be strong enough to suffer. Now the Bible teaches us in Proverbs that all contention and all wars start from pride. A politician gets proud and he wants to even the score with another country and he starts a war. Pride is the one thing that starts every single war, be it in a family, be it in a city, or be it in an international scene. It's pride that starts all that contention and starts all those wars. And because those wars start, somebody has to volunteer to be a soldier and endure some hardness in resolving that conflict. Are you willing to endure hardness as a good soldier? Are we the kind of people that are willing to do the hard, right thing? Sometimes the right thing to do is not an easy choice, but it's an important choice. Are you willing to endure hardness? And the fifth characteristic is, are you a follower of Jesus? I already mentioned that, but look in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I was sharing with a fellow in the hospital a week ago that if all the 2,500 different religions in the world, how do you know which one is right? And I went through the list. I said, the popes are still enshrined in a casket over there in Toledo, Spain. You can go see some of the old popes if you want to. Adolf Hitler is still in his grave. Marx is still in his grave. And then I go through the religious list. Helen G. White is still in her grave. Joseph Smith is still in his grave. And then I go through some political people. John the Baptist is still in his grave. And then I asked the man, I said, who is not in their grave? The Lord Jesus Christ. And because his grave, his tomb is empty, we know we have the right one to serve, the right one to follow. We are not pleasers of men, we're pleasers of God. And the best God in the world to have is the one who conquered death and rose from the dead, whose tomb is empty. That's the one we follow. Are we a follower of Jesus? Number 6, are we cautious of self-indulgence? Look at verse number 4 again. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, he's self-indulgent. We should not be entangled with the affairs of this life. I know you're not going to tell anybody when I say this, But when I first got saved, I was furious that tax dollars were being used to abort babies. And so I said, the government is not going to use any of my money to abort babies. And I refused to pay taxes. And so for 3 years, I did not pay taxes. But then some of my other friends who believed like I did, they began to get arrested. And they went to jail. And there was Harry, he went to jail. And then there was Ernie, he went to jail. And there was another guy, he escaped before they caught him. So, you know, I thought I had a good reason not to pay taxes. Abortion's wrong, amen? I thought I had a good reason not to pay taxes. I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, what do I do? And he shared this verse. He said, you've been entangled with the affairs of this life. He said, you have got yourself in a fix you better get out of. And I said, well, I haven't paid taxes for 3 years. Do I just turn myself into the county jail? He said, no. He says, just sit down and write to your friend at the IRS and tell them that you have seen the error of your ways. You've gotten involved in an affair that you didn't need to be involved with, and that you'd like to make things right and see what happens. Now, I was a young father with three little girls and a wife that I wanted to take care of, and I couldn't see myself in a jumpsuit trying to take care of people from the county jail. But I did as my pastor instructed. I followed his directions. I sat down and I wrote a letter. I said, Dear Iris, I am sorry for the trouble I have caused you by not filing taxes because of the abortion issue. But my pastor has instructed me to, not, this isn't exactly how it went, but this is close. But my pastor instructed me that I was getting involved in something he didn't want me involved in. And so below or included in this letter is a list of all my income the last 3 years. Would you please calculate how much I owe you, and I will do my best to make it right and get caught up with my tax burden. This is hilarious. Do you know what happened? No. My income was so low that I got an unearned income credit for 3 years in a row of $400 a year. So I was rewarded $1,600 for untangling myself in a tax battle that I probably wouldn't have won. And since then, I pay all the taxes I absolutely have to pay, but I don't pay any extra, okay? But if you're a soldier, you don't have time to get involved in these petty arguments and these petty things out here. Stay focused. Stay focused on Christ and you'll do the right thing. Don't be self-indulgent. Number seven, are you purposed to please God? Again, look at verse number four. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God doesn't want you entangled with some political hot issue over there in Arizona. He's called you to be a soldier of Christ. And we need to be careful in our involvement with secular issues, that those secular issues don't hurt the cause of Christ and take us from our agenda. We need to be careful not to become entangled in what the world teaches about marriage and what the world teaches about all these other things that we could get involved with. We need to stay focused on Christ so that we can please God and not men, so that we can be worshipful in our walk. The neighbors around us that take out their binoculars every morning, they look out their window and they look to see if your car is headed to church. You think your neighbors aren't watching? They are watching you. Are you worshipful in all you do? Are you pleasing God in all you do? The banker downtown, he knows how much you guys give to the church. He's not supposed to look, but I suspect he peeks. Now look at that guy. This is unbelievable. The IRS agent. He looks at your tax. Look at what he gives to the church. That's amazing. Are you worshipful? Are you pleasing God in every area of your life and not just focusing on pleasing men? That takes a good soldier to do that. A good soldier is also obedient. Look at verse number 5. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawful. That's obedience. We need to be obedient to the laws of God and the laws of man. Now the laws of God are on top and the laws of man are down here. I understand that. We have spiritual laws and we have civil laws. But I have found out by experience that if I don't obey the civil laws, I could end up in jail and end my ministry. So I do have to be obedient to the laws of the land. If I go over 55 in a speeding zone, I expect a ticket. I've had a few in my days. I'm not going to tell you how many because that's none of your business. But if the police officer pulls me over, I say, "Sir, I'm sorry, what have I done wrong?" And he said, "Well, besides being 15 miles over the speed limit, you weren't paying attention to the area. You were in a school district." I said, "I was?" I said, "Well, I'm sorry." I said, "Write me the ticket." This was in Pierre, South Dakota. The officer goes back to his car and probably looked up my license plate number and found out I was a preacher running through South Dakota. He comes back and he says, "Well," he says, "Reverend, I'm not going to give you a ticket this time. I'm just going to give you a warning. But," he says, "this is a school zone and you can't drive over the speed limit or you're going to get ticketed." I said, "I'm sorry, sir. I did not realize I was in a school zone. I am just trying to get out of town. I'm on my way to Denver." He said, "I will be glad to help you get out of town." And he led me out of town without a ticket. And since he didn't give me a ticket, I had a ticket in my pocket for our church. It says, "Admit one, free pass." I gave him a ticket. He started laughing. He says, "I can't believe this. The guy's giving me a ticket because I didn't give him a ticket." But I work hard at obeying the laws of man and the laws of God, but especially the laws of God, because that's what makes us good soldiers. Okay? Are we strong in grace? Are we committed to teaching? Are we a good hearer? Do we endure hardness? Are we a follower of Jesus? Are we cautious of self-indulgence? Are we purposed to pleasing God? Are we obedient to the laws of God and man? Verse number 6. Are we determined to work hard for God's glory? Do we have some discipline to work hard? Look at verse number 6. The husbandman that laboreth. I've said for years to the men in jail, if you love your job and you love to work, you won't have to worry about spending the rest of your life in an orange jumpsuit. But if you don't learn to love to work, you're going to be in trouble the rest of your life. A husbandman needs to be a good laborer, a good worker. And I feel bad that in our culture, people would rather have entitlements and free passes than they would work hard. And I'm sorry if that offends you, but somewhere along the line, somebody's got to teach you that good work is healthy, it's profitable, it's beneficial, it's a good testimony. It's okay to be a good hard worker. God's word encourages that. Don't be a sloth. Don't be a lazy buzzard that doesn't do anything except play games and spend money. That's not your calling. Your calling from God to be a good soldier is to be willing to be a husbandman that laboreth. Be willing to work hard. Get a good job that you love and work hard at it. Do the best you can. Determined to work hard for God's glory. And then lastly, if you do all that, you'll have some understanding in all things. Look at verse number 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord will give the understanding in all things. The Lord will give you compassion. In Psalm 119, we see the psalmist asking not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but 5 times he prays, "Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding. Give me understanding." A good soldier is somebody who goes to God's word, he gets on his knees, and he prays for understanding, and he hopes that in his course of living, he will understand the ups and downs and the ins and outs of the Christian life. Are you a good soldier of the cross? Are you strong in grace? Do you share it with others? Are you committed to teach and be taught by others? Are you faithful and really paying attention and hearing God's word? Are you willing to endure a little suffering and a little hardness for the glory of God? Are you a follower of Jesus? Jesus said, "Follow me." He didn't say follow everybody and every psychologist and every talk show host. Jesus said, "Follow me." Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you cautious of self-indulgence? Are you purposed to pleasing God? Are you obedient to the laws of God and man? Are you determined to work hard for God's glory? Are you determined as a soldier to try to have understanding and to pray for understanding in all things? I trust that's your heart cry this morning. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.